On this episode of Skeptico, guest host Andy Paquette talks with parapsychology and past lives researcher Dr. Erlinder Haraldsson.
How would you say these purported past life memories of the children are typically received by their families?
Generally, they are interpreted so that the child is talking about memories from a past life. So there is a reincarnationistic interpretation that they give to the cases. But and sometimes it is so that the child says that this happened in my previous life, but quite often also the child is simply talking about something that the parents know has never happened to them, and hence they assume this happened to them in the previous in a previous life.
Stay with us for Skeptico.
Welcome to Skeptico, where we explore controversial science with leading researchers, thinkers, and their critics. I'm your host, Alex Akaris, and on this episode of Skeptico, we're going to touch on a topic that I've been wanting to cover for a while and never seem to get around to, and that's the reports of past lives among children. Now, this interview, as you heard in the lead-in, is actually from Andy Paquette, who was nice enough to record this at a Dream conference that he attended last year. It's been sitting in my in-basket for a while, and I'm finally getting it out. It's quite an interesting interview, and I think you'll also find the website of Dr. Haraldsson very interesting. He's done quite a bit of work on just a variety of topics, and he has quite a few papers that you can access from his website. He also has a new book that's worth mentioning called The Departed Among the Living, an investigative study of afterlife encounters, reporting people's experience with the deceased while they're fully awake, fully aware, and just feel that presence of someone dead around them or actually hear or otherwise experience them. It's quite a fascinating bit of research, adding to this rather large body of research that you can find on Dr. Haraldsson's website. So here's the interview. It's short, but it's got some great content in it. And be sure to stick around for the end for a very interesting little twist that only Andy could bring us.
This is Erlinder Haraldsson from Iceland. Welcome, Erlinder, to Skeptico.com. Erlinder is with us today at the Dream Conference in Amsterdam, and we've been very lucky to have this opportunity to talk to him about his reincarnation studies. So welcome, Erlinder. Now, Erlinder has done some research on children who remember past lives, I think somewhat similar to the work that Dr. Ian Stevenson is also known for doing, and they've actually worked together on at least one paper. So what I'd like to ask you, Dr. Haraldsson, is about your experience in, researching children who remember past lives. First, could you just tell us a little bit about what you did and the results you got?
Yes. I researched quite a number of cases in Sri Lanka. It was on the invitation of Dr. Stevenson. He had been studying these cases for some 40 years, and then he wanted to get some independent researcher to also to study some number of cases in order to see if that person came up with similar findings. And we agreed upon that I would do my study in Sri Lanka. So first I studied some 30 cases, and later an additional 30 cases.
Can I ask you real fast, were these cases provided to you by Stevenson?
No, these cases were provided by people that partly had worked for him, and partly that I selected and found myself in Sri Lanka to work for me.
Okay.
And I had an interpreter. I found an interpreter who had not worked previously for Stevenson.
Okay.
Yes. But most of the cases in Sri Lanka, they are found some are found by word of mouth. When you study one case, you sometimes learn about another. But very often these cases in Sri Lanka, they are first published in newspapers. And sometimes also it is so that some correspondent, like up in the country, learns about a case, and they will publish the case before any person has been found that seems to have led the kind of life that the child is describing. And then people read this account, and then someone comes along and says, well, the life that the boy or the girl is talking about is just like the life of my son or daughter who died so and so many years ago.
Let me ask you, how do you feel about the criticism that by the time these cases reach the newspapers, the families may be deriving some kind of financial advantage that would make them less credible as witnesses?
I think in Sri Lanka there is hardly ever any financial advantage. There may be like in the U.S. where there have been written books about individual cases, but in Sri Lanka they get no financial advantage. They even afterwards, the families have mixed feelings about this, about it. For some, it gives more attention to the children. They may like it, some of them, but others may find it a nuisance.
How would you say these purported past life memories of the children are typically received by their families?
Well, I was not so much concerned about how they are perceived by the families. Well, generally they are interpreted so that the child is talking about memories from a past life. So there is a reincarnationistic interpretation that they give to the cases. And sometimes it is so that the child says that this happened in my previous life, but quite often also the child is simply talking about something that the parents know has never happened to them, and hence they assume this happened to them in a previous life.
When that happens, do you feel that that's a reasonable conclusion to come to?
Well, for me or for us, what was important was to make an attempt to try to verify or falsify the cases. So if we learned about a new case, and if it had not been solved, if no person had been found who was a potential previous personality, then we would try to find someone who would have led a life like the one that the child has been talking about. Maybe I should tell you first something about the content that the children often give. The most common theme of these memories is that the child will say in about 3/4 of the cases that it died in a violent way, very often by accidents, sometimes by murder or in war. That is most very common. Then they will also describe a life, as far as we can ascertain, that seems to have taken place rather recently, never in past centuries, almost never in foreign countries. It is local, it is close in time and space. And it is also rather common that they will mention the area where they live. And sometimes they will give very specific details. Like I remember one case of a girl. She claimed to have died in a traffic accident. She was going on a bicycle to the market, and a big vehicle ran over her. And she told that she has been an incense maker. So there are sometimes very specific things that are said.
Let me stop you just for a second. You mentioned something about geography, and one thing I noticed when I read through even Ian Stevenson's books is that there almost seems to be a direct linear path between a physical life, a death, and then finding the new parents and moving into that life. Is this something you found as well?
I'm not sure what you mean by a linear thing.
What I mean is that a person will die in a certain city,
yes,
and then the new life is either in that city or
yes,
the
or
parents,
close by.
Or the parents have been there, and
yes,
it's like
yes,
that.
Yes, in most instances, the child speaks about a life near to the place where it was born or is living at present. And it is not infrequent that they mention the name where they live. That's quite common.
Let me ask you something about the translator. Did you have just one translator that you used?
In the course of my studies, I used a few translators.
Now, were you satisfied that they were translating things accurately and not involved with
some of these people knew some English, so it was good to have a translator, but I could also, to some extent, speak to them myself. And then another thing that we should mention, that we did not only interview the child and the mother and the father, we would also try to interview playmates of the child, older brother or sister, or grandfather, grandmother. We will try to find as many witnesses as we can to what the child has been talking about, the alleged previous life. So only when we find some consistency of what the child has been speaking to different people and speaking at different times, when there is some consistency of that, then at least I would first take the case seriously as a potential case of past life memories.
How would you say of the number of cases that you started with, that the majority or a minority of them became interesting to you on that level?
Well, the cases, they have differed a lot as far as verifiability is concerned. My estimate was that in about one third of the cases, you are able to verify a part of what the child is saying, or let us put it the other way, you find some correspondence between what the child has been talking about and the facts in the life of another person. But in about two-thirds of the cases in Sri Lanka, you never find any person who corresponds to the statements made by the child. There may be different reasons for that. And so the really interesting cases, they were about 10% of all the cases.
Now, do you feel that even though you were only able to solve 10% and find them interesting for whatever reasons, that that works against the explanation, or that these were genuine memories of a previous existence?
Well, it is hard to judge if these are genuine memories. But that is a second phase, the phase of interpretation. First, of course, we want to establish if there is a correspondence between the child, what the child has been saying, and the facts in the life of some person who died before the child was born. And if there is such a correspondence, there might be possibly different interpretation. And of those, the reincarnation interpretation is most common in the countries where these cases are found. But even there, you also find some other interpretations. Sometimes you hear the interpretation that there may be some deceased persons who, like, overshadow the child, or the child get a bit obsessed with them or something like that. But this is... it is a rare interpretation, this one I was talking about, the one of obsession. The usual one is the reincarnation. And then, of course, there is a serious interpretation also, and that is, could it be by chance that the correspondence you find between what the child is saying and the facts in the life of some person or there are just by mere chance.
How do you feel about that explanation?
Well, that is a potential explanation. Sometimes it is more likely, sometimes it is less likely. It depends often on the statements of the child. If the child has made some very specific statements, then the likelihood of for the chance interpretation being true is less. If it is something just very common things that she is talking about, then the likelihood is greater. This is greater.
Did you see any cases personally that you felt were so strong that it was very difficult to accept the chance hypothesis?
Yes, I think I saw some cases of that kind where the chance hypothesis looks very quite unlikely. I wrote up some extraordinary cases. Also, I mentioned that girl who talked about having been an incense maker who died in a traffic accident, and she made several statements about her life. And that then in the end, we found an incense maker in the area she was referring to, and what she had said fitted very well. And incense making is not a common profession in Sri Lanka. Then also in her case, there was an additional feature that you find in some cases, and that was that she had a birthmark. And then I was able to get the post-mortem report from the physician who examined the body of that incense maker who was killed in a traffic accident. And there I saw that the wheel of the bus had gone over her chest from her shoulder down across the breast and out over to the lower left side. And in that post-mortem report, it is written that the major injuries were here on the lower chest on the left side. There the ribs penetrate the lungs and she is likely to have suffered most. This girl, she happens to have a cluster of birthmarks on the lower chest on the left side.
Is it just that the birthmarks were located in the place where the injury was most serious, or did they also resemble the type of injury?
Well, we have no photograph of the injuries, but there is a description of the injuries, just a verbal description. There is also a drawing where the injuries was, and the birthmark, they fit pretty well. The location is correct. And it's not just one birthmark, it's a cluster of birthmarks.
When you say cluster, do you mean are these the port wine stain variety, or do they actually look like scars?
There are really several birthmarks close to one another.
Are they the same type?
They are, yes. You see it by a different color of the skin, primarily.
Okay, so that's what Stevenson would call the port wine stain.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you must have run into people who have questioned the validity of studies like this.
Yes.
What do you say to them in answer to criticisms that this kind of work has various problems?
Well, I am fully aware of the problems. I think even more than the skeptics.
Okay.
So there are problems there, and this is an area where there are many questions and where there's a lot of room for more research. And we do not have the final answer in. So we have to question, and we do question these results. But the results we have for some number of the cases are very intriguing.
Let me ask you about another explanation that you haven't mentioned, and that is the super telepathy example, that perhaps this young girl had picked up somehow through a chain of other people telepathically this information. How would you respond to that?
Well, that's also one of the possibilities, that the child is a psychic in some way. But then the question is, why does it zoom on to one particular person?
It occurred to me when thinking about that question that it would have to be telepathy that involved many people, right? Because of the type of statements she makes. It couldn't be one single person would be able to have said all this. Is that right?
I would think so, yes.
Okay, so in any case, when someone is complaining that this could be that kind of telepathy, you're talking about multiple strangers needing to have their memories drawn from in order for that to work. Is that right?
Well, it depends on the case. Sometime one person might know almost all about it, about the life of this particular person, other times not. And then, of course, we have these birthmark cases, which I think are very hard to interpret by telepathy, because the birthmarks, they form on the skin of the children before they are born. They have them when they are born. And, well, if they could be telepathically influenced as embryos, well, we do not usually think so.
I'm going to be running out of time soon, so I'm just going to ask a wrap-up question, okay? Now, you've also studied mediumship, And mediumship has to do with survival of consciousness after death, as does reincarnation. So you've studied two subjects that touch on that issue pretty strongly. Have you come to an opinion of whether or not consciousness survives physical death?
Well, I think that we find in the reincarnation case, if I may so call them, and in some historical cases of mediumship, we find some evidence that supports the idea of survival. And that's how matters stand.
Okay, so you would say then that we have evidence that supports survival, however, no conclusions can be drawn from it.
Well, I'm not saying no conclusions can be drawn from it, but I say that we have evidence, in some instances, rather good evidence, but there is no proof.
Fair enough. Okay, now one last thing before we go, but if you have any material related to your work that you would like us to mention on the website so people can see what you've been working on?
You can give them my homepage.
Yes, is that on your business card?
Yes, it's on my business card.
Then I'll do that.
There they see most of the papers I published, they are on my homepage. And I have published a large number of papers.
Okay, well, just to get...
I think it is primarily studies on reincarnation, or studies of children remembering past life, I prefer to call that, or studies of children who claim to remember a past life. Also some studies of mediumship, particularly of one Indriti Indriðason, who lived in the beginning of the 20th century, and also a study of another Icelandic medium, Hafstein Björnsson. Then I've done surveys about people's experiences, psychic experiences. And then I also, I've done many different study of some Indian miracle makers, mm-hmm. in particular of Satya Sai Baba. Uh-huh. And I wrote a book about him.
Oh, that actually would be very interesting. Now, I am about to run out of time. Before we go, I do want to mention one other thing to you. A little while before I came to this show, about a week or two ago, I had a dream that I was looking at a hand where that finger was short. It was missing a digit. It was very strong. And here I meet you, and you've got that. Anyway, thank you very much, Mr. Haraldsson. I appreciate it.
Thanks again to Dr. Erlander Haraldsson and Andy Paquette for bringing us that interview. If you'd like more information about this show or any of our previous shows, please visit the Skeptico website. It's at skeptiko.com. You'll also find there a link to all our previous shows and an email, Facebook link to me, all that good stuff. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Skeptico. Stay with me. Tell your friends about Skeptico. Blog about us. Spread the word. And take care. Bye for now.